Hi, my name is Owen Lansbury. You might know me from an Australian Drupal shop called Previous Next, and this is episode 44 of the Modules Unraveled podcast.
Welcome to the Modules Unraveled podcast, where the Drupal community speaks, and now your host. He was a percussionist at Interlochen Arts Academy his senior year of high school, Brian Lewis.
Welcome to the Modules Unraveled podcast. My name is Brian Lewis, and today I have with me Owen Lansbury. Owen has worked in interactive design for 20 years, leading teams for a range of prominent web development firms, including Spike, Oven Digital, IBM Innovative Center, and One Digital in Australia and the US before branching out independently and founding the Australian Drupal firm Previous Next in early 2009. Owen, how are you doing?
I'm very well. Thanks, Brian.
Great. So you're in Australia, so it's pretty early morning for you. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. I'm actually sitting in the middle of a forest with some kangaroos bouncing around on the grass outside.
Does that actually happen? Do you have kangaroos that hop by your house?
Yeah, I'm not actually in Sydney at the moment. I'm about 3 hours south of Sydney.
Okay, gotcha. Cool. All right, well, do you want to go ahead and tell us a little bit about who you are and where you're from?
Yeah, sure. So I've had a background in web development and design for the past 20 years. So I kind of came in at the very inception of when the web started happening. Mm-hmm. And for most of that time, I've had a focus on user experience and design. And for the past 4 years or so, I've been running a Drupal firm called Previous Next out of Sydney. But we have projects going on all over Australia.
Cool. How did you get started with Drupal?
So I can probably blame my wife for getting into Drupal. So she wanted to develop a very rich content and social-based website about 5 years ago. And at that time, I didn't know a lot about different CMSs. And so I did a big evaluation of all the open source CMSs at that point in time. And Drupal really ticked all the boxes. Hmm. And so off the back of building that initial site for her, we had a lot of other people starting to come to us and asking us to build Drupal sites for them as well. And we were quite lucky to get in at quite an early stage with the Drupal uptake in Australia. And so we were able to build a few of the bigger sites on Drupal 4 or 5 years ago. And that's just continued on since then. So we've specialized in Drupal. We don't build sites in anything else. And love it. It's fantastic.
Cool. How big a company is Previous Next now?
So we've got about 20 employees, and most of them are based in Sydney. And then we've got a couple of remote employees as well. So we actually started Previous Next from this little house in the forest out of Sydney. So we're quite used to working in a distributed way. But obviously, as we've got bigger, we've needed to consolidate and form some closer-knit teams.
Right. Cool. Okay. Well, what's a recent project that you've been working on?
So a lot of the work we've done in the last few years has been with government, and Australia has definitely followed the rest of the world in terms of Drupal becoming a very viable option for government websites. And in the past 2 years alone, we've seen almost a 1,000-fold increase in the use of Drupal in government. So if you look at that government website list on Drupal.org, 2 years ago there was 10 Australian sites on that, and now there's more than 150. Whoa. So the uptake of Drupal's been phenomenal, and what we've just released this week actually is a Drupal distribution called agov.com.au, and it's similar to OpenPublic in the sense that it's a distribution for government. But the Australian government obviously has its own specific requirements, things like meeting WCAG 2, AA accessibility compliance, and a range of other branding requirements that OpenPublic doesn't meet. And so we've built that into this Drupal 7 distribution. So we're just going for a beta program at the moment with that, and there'll be a full release totally open sourced on Drupal.org within a few weeks, I'd say.
Cool. Excellent. That's awesome. All right, so we're here to talk about DrupalCon Sydney. And before I do that, I want to just remind everybody that if you have any questions that come up or, you know, any comments about what you're hearing, go ahead and send a tweet using the hashtag MUP044, and we'll get to those at the end of the show. Okay, so let's jump into DrupalCon. And before we actually talk about Sydney itself, I'd like to start out by getting a brief overview of what a DrupalCon is for anybody that might be listening that hasn't been to one yet.
Sure. So I think the easiest way to explain a DrupalCon is it's the opportunity for anyone working in Drupal to come together face-to-face. And obviously you can do that in the USA and Europe with very big groups of people, so 4,000 people in North America, 2,000 in Europe. And we've been running a few Drupal camps in Australia up until now, and the growth of Drupal here has really facilitated us being able to run an official DrupalCon with the Drupal Association, and we're aiming for about 400 or 500 people at the DrupalCon here. So I think the main thing is just to get together, collaborate, share ideas.
Cool. And DrupalCon Sydney is brand new. It's going to be the very first one. Do you want to talk a little bit about how it became a DrupalCon? Because it started out as just DrupalCon Down Under, right?
Yeah, so there would we'd had two what we'd call Drupal Down Under events, one in Melbourne this year and one in Brisbane the year before. And then there'd been a couple of events in New Zealand as well called Drupal South prior to that. And what we'd seen with those events is that the numbers were doubling year on year. So in Melbourne this year, we had about 250 people. And it was actually Dries, when he was in Melbourne, pulled us aside and said, hey, if you approach the Drupal Association, there's a good chance that they'll consider this an emerging market that they might want to back with a DrupalCon. Hmm. So we went through quite a lot of background with the Drupal Association to show them that the market was indeed growing and that it was worth their while to focus some energy here. And we've been able to pull it together. So it's been a really good experience, and working with the Drupal Association has been particularly good. They've got a very strong team there who are all very professional. So
cool. That's awesome. Okay, so let's start out with some basic questions about Sydney. First of all, when is it?
Sure. So it's going to be on February 6 until February 9, 2013. And for anyone in the Northern Hemisphere, that's the height of our Sydney summer. So leave your winter clothes at home and come down and you can enjoy some fantastic weather down here. Our average daytime temperature is about 75, 80 degrees Fahrenheit, which is about 25 to 30 degrees Celsius.
Excellent.
So for that reason alone, it's a great destination to come to. And in terms of the format, we'll be having our training day on the Wednesday, and we're also going to be having a business-focused day on the Wednesday as well, where we have some case studies from high-profile adopters of Drupal in enterprise. And then we'll move into the main sessions on the Thursday and Friday, and then having the sprint on the Saturday.
Okay.
So four very full days.
Yeah. So is that shorter than like DrupalCon Denver, and it wasn't actually at Munich?
Yeah, so I think the North American DrupalCons tend to have three full days of sessions. Mm-hmm. And in terms of logistics, we decided early on to compress that down into 2 days, primarily based on the audience size. So we're obviously going to be smaller than a North American DrupalCon, and we can pack more into a couple of days.
What are the numbers going to be as far as attendance?
Oh, we're expecting between 400 and 500, and we can accommodate a few more than that if we needed to. But I think the message is that we're expecting to sell this event out, and we're already 70% of the way there. So if anyone hasn't got tickets yet, I'd definitely encourage them to grab some before they do sell out.
Cool. Okay, so then where is the conference going to be held at?
So we're probably most excited about the venue that we've got, and it's literally across the sand from a beach called Coogee in Sydney. And Coogee is about 10 minutes from the airport and 10 to 15 minutes from downtown Sydney. And the venue for the event will be at the Crown Plaza, Coogee. And they've actually given us some very good discounts on their standard high season rates for DrupalCon attendees. And then there's a lot of other good accommodation options around the area as well, everything from Airbnb style house accommodation through to backpackers accommodation. So we're hoping that it'll be able to cater for everyone, regardless of their means.
Cool. Excellent. And then where is that as far as, is that close to Sydney or?
Yeah, so it's about 10, 15 minutes from downtown. So there's a lot that happens in Coogee itself. There's about 30 international restaurants and bars right on the beach there. And then if you do want to head downtown to see the Opera House and the Harbour Bridge and all the great sights that Sydney has, it's literally just jumping on a bus for 15 minutes and you're right downtown. So it's the best of both worlds. And I think that the important thing to point out to your international audience is that Sydney is definitely one of the world's great cities. We've got a population of 4.5 million, so if you put that in the context of the USA, we'd be the fourth or fifth biggest city in the USA on population alone. And we've got a very diverse multicultural population as well. So in terms of interesting things to see and do, and especially at this time of year when we've got a lot of big summer festivals on, Sydney's an amazing destination.
Cool. And you mentioned that it was just like a 10-minute bus ride. Is there a lot of public transportation so people don't need to worry about renting?
Yeah, there's a bus stop straight out the front of the hotel, and that'll take you straight downtown.
Cool. Excellent. All right, let's talk about some of the content of the DrupalCon. Who are going to be the keynote speakers, and what are they going to talk about?
Sure. So Dries will be coming to Australia for his third annual visit. And it's almost becoming a bit of a fixture now for him. We're very appreciative for the support that he's given us over the last few years and continues to do so. And we'd expect that his keynote will be along the lines of his traditional State of Drupal keynote. Mm-hmm. But who knows until the day? I don't even know if he knows until the day sometimes. and we're holding off on a formal announcement of our second keynote, which will be on the Friday. Okay. The main reason being is that they're a sitting member of our government, and they need to confirm their schedule based on when Parliament is actually sitting next year. Gotcha. But we've got a commitment from them that they will definitely be trying to squeeze us into their schedule, and they're one of the highest profile advocates for open government that's actually a sitting member of government. So we're very excited about that. And we'll be able to reveal details about that in coming weeks. And then we've also got an amazing array of featured sessions as well, which we'll talk about in a minute.
Sure. Okay, well, let's talk about some of the tracks that are available. Which tracks are available at DrupalCon Sydney?
Sure. So I think the important thing to point out is that because it's a DrupalCon, that's backed by the Drupal Association, there's definitely a expectation in people's minds about the quality of content that's going to be there and the types of topics that will be covered. So in terms of the tracks that we've got the usual tracks around coding and development, front-end, business and strategy, site building and community. And our content team from the local volunteer team is working very closely with global track chairs across each of those topics to ensure that the standard of submissions that we're choosing is on par with what you'd expect to find anywhere else at a DrupalCon. So we're very excited about that. And then we've also got a couple of floating tracks that we've developed locally. And the first one of those is a content track. So one of the big things that we've wanted to push with DrupalCon in Sydney is to expand the potential audience beyond development alone and to really start attracting people who are using Drupal in their day-to-day jobs. So a lot of big organizations have adopted Drupal. Those people aren't necessarily engaged with the community at this point in time. And so we've established a content track to attract those people who might be using Drupal in their day-to-day roles to find out how they can really optimize how they develop content using Drupal.
Okay.
So we're excited about that. And then the other track that we've got is a pure case studies track, and we're encouraging people to really share that big picture experience of having implemented Drupal that might cover a whole range of different topics. And I think the call for papers for the case studies track ask people to share every gory detail of success and failure with having implemented Drupal. And then the final thing that I'll just mention again is that we're going to be running a business focus day on the Wednesday, and that'll be a separate ticket just for that Wednesday to attract people that can't commit to doing the full conference, and primarily aimed at people who are probably still evaluating Drupal and just need that extra ammunition to take to their bosses to get it over the line. And so we'll be having some very high-profile case studies from large enterprise and big media organizations, primarily around why they chose Drupal and how they're migrating to it internally.
Cool. Yeah. Okay. So actually, I'm going to put you on the spot in just a minute and ask if there are any sessions within the tracks that you're really excited about. But I kind of want to talk about the content track and the, you know, these other floating sessions you're talking about. So the content track is actually going to be for like site owners and people using sites on a daily basis, not necessarily for site builders or developers or designers. Is that right?
So obviously anyone can go to any track, but I think what we've felt is that there's a huge hidden audience of Drupal users out there who literally are turning up to work and using Drupal as a tool, and they're not necessarily aware of the community behind Drupal and the initiatives that are there focused on people specifically like them. And I'm probably not speaking too far out of turn to say that we're hopefully going to showcase a lot of the work that's happening in Spark, the Spark initiative around content authoring tools that's coming out of Acquia at the moment, and really the focus that's been there on enhancing the content authoring experience for people who are using Drupal on a day-to-day basis. So there's that side of things, and then there's also the whole side of how do you leverage Drupal to create accessible content, what content strategies should you be putting in place to ensure that your content's getting the maximum impact, and all of those types of things that would sometimes live in the business and strategy track, but are definitely more focused on that end user who's using Drupal on a daily basis.
Cool. And then the case studies, have you had anybody already confirmed they're going to be coming and talking about a case study, or do you know of any that are out there yet?
Yeah, we've got a couple of great local case studies. So like I've mentioned already, there's been a huge adoption of Drupal, and we've got some case studies from some big media organizations and some large enterprises, primarily around how they've chosen Drupal in the first place, and then how they've implemented that. And I think the trend that we're definitely seeing is that when a large organization chooses to use Drupal, in a lot of cases, they're wanting to build out their sites with their internal teams. And so there's a lot of change happening in terms of the relationship between external vendors and internal teams and how they're actually building these large scale sites and converting their teams from other platforms across to Drupal. So there's a lot of interest there that we're seeing, and a lot of very interesting case studies that come out of that.
Cool. Okay. Okay, now I'm going to put you on the spot and kind of go back through these. Is there anything in the coding and development track that when you saw, you were like, oh, that looks really cool, anything like that?
Sure. So I can talk about our featured session for the coding track, and that's going to be delivered by Justin Randall, otherwise known as Bejeebus, on Drupal.org. And he'll be talking about the content staging initiative that he's been working on as part of Drupal 8. And I think the important thing to point out about Justin is he's Australia's most prolific core contributor. So we've seen some sessions from him in the past that have been very exciting. Cool. So that's probably the main one that I'm excited about. And we've also got a couple of talks that haven't been officially selected yet, but are focused around how Symfony will be tying in with Drupal 8.
Right. Yep, that'll be important. What about from the front-end track?
Sure. So front-end, let me think. I'm going to have to remind myself. You are putting me on the spot here.
Yes, I know.
So in terms of front-end, I don't have any notes on that in front of me, so that's putting me too much on the spot.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine. What about the rest of these? How about the business and strategy? Is there anything that you can remember?
So business and strategy, the exciting thing there is that we've got two great featured sessions. The first one is our featured speaker who's coming from the furthest away, which is Visa Palmu, who's the CEO of Wonderkraut, based out of Finland. And my challenge is if anyone can come further to Sydney from than Visa, I'm sure we'll be able to work out some special prize for them. So anyone from Iceland or Greenland, I think you'll be in the running there. So I think Visa is talking about Agile and Drupal. And then the other featured session that we haven't announced yet is Nicole Lind from Phase 2 in the States. And she's got a couple of topics that she'd been planning to talk about, which we'll be able to announce shortly.
Cool. All right, how about the site building track?
So site building, we're very excited. We've got two fantastic Drupal women talking in the site building track. The first one is a local woman called Erica Ordinary, and she'll be providing a talk that's more focused around entry-level site building. And then the other fantastic featured session we've got in site building is Jen Lampton, who's coming over from San Francisco. So very excited about those two.
Cool. What about the community track?
So community, we've got Addison Berry lined up.
Great.
Who's coming from Lullabot. And she'll also be playing a very big role in the core sprint, and also likely to be running some core sprint training as well, either on the day of the sprint or prior to that. So she's run a couple of those successfully, I know most recently at DrupalCon Munich. So we're very excited about that.
Yeah.
And I think the important thing about the Australian market is that I definitely don't think the Australian market is as mature in terms of core contribution at this point in time. So we're really looking at DrupalCon Sydney as being an opportunity to educate and encourage people who are working with Drupal every day to understand what contribution is all about and to start actively participating in it too.
Right, cool. Okay, did you want to point out anything about the business day?
Sure. So as I've mentioned before, that'll be on the Wednesday, and it'll be separate. It'll be a separate ticket to DrupalCon.
Okay.
Still a very modest price compared to most commercial conferences. And most of the case studies that we'll be having there will be from local Australian providers, but we're also looking at lining up a couple of keynotes from international people to talk about their experience on more of a global scale. And that might include a big newspaper in the Asian region or a big media company from the USA. Hmm. And we're just yet to confirm those.
Okay, cool. Okay, so you've talked a little bit about some pre-conference trainings. What pre-conference trainings are available?
Sure, so they'll be announced in about 2 weeks. So we're still waiting for all the session submissions and training submissions to come in by this Friday, October 26th. So if you do have a training submission you want to get it in before then. But I do know that we've got three dedicated rooms for training on the Wednesday, and we'll be trying to ensure that we've got a good mix between entry-level training and more advanced training. And there's also talk about tying in with this content track and having some training that's focused on making your content accessible. So we had a great keynote at Drupal Down Under in Melbourne on creating accessible websites, And we're looking at running some training off the back of that as well. But that'll all be confirmed within 2 to 3 weeks.
Cool. And then how much are the pre-conference trainings going to cost?
Sure. So we've got a price of $440 US for the training days. And I should point out there has been some discussion about why is pricing for DrupalCon Sydney in US dollars. Mm-hmm. And the short answer is rather than spend thousands of dollars setting up a legal entity in Australia so that we could receive funds in Australian dollars, the decision was made to save those funds and better direct them towards essential things that the Drupal Association is focusing on and retain the Drupal Association's standard billing systems. So apologies to anyone that feels that that's not appropriate to be charging in US dollars, but I'm sure that you would feel better knowing that those few thousands of dollars are going to better use than the convenience of paying Australian dollars.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay, so let's see. When are ticket sales available?
So tickets are already on sale. And I think just to kind of give an indication of the popularity of the event already, our early bird tickets sold out in under 12 hours.
Whoa.
So we had 100 early bird tickets that were $330. And now we've moved into regular pricing, which is $385. And that'll get you into the main sessions on the 2 days, on Thursday and Friday, plus the code sprint. And technically, the tickets will be on sale until February the 5th. But I think the likelihood that we sell out well before then is very high. Hmm. And like I mentioned before, we're around about 70% of our allocation already. So I would definitely encourage people, if they're considering coming, to get in quick, because the last thing we want to have is people missing out.
Right. Okay, so our last DrupalCon was in Munich, and they made a few announcements about it there, but what's been going on since DrupalCon Munich as far as DrupalCon Sydney?
Sure. So the main focus has been on session submissions. So our content team, which is led by Donna Benjamin, who's one of the Drupal Association floating board members, mm-hmm. She's been leading, coordinating the track chairs who are in the local team with the track chairs who are global across all DrupalCons, and making sure that we're getting the message out about getting submissions in, ensuring people know what we want them to focus on when they do put submissions in, and then starting the evaluation process. And like I mentioned before, the session submissions do close this Friday, October 26, and you literally just need to make sure that you've got a solid paragraph about what you want your session to be about. You don't have to go off and write your full session until it's chosen. So the ease of putting a submission in is very high, and your chances of getting selected, I'm not going to say are high, but each session will be evaluated on its own merit, mm-hmm. and we've definitely got an ethos of choosing the best possible content, regardless of where that content's being submitted from. So I'd definitely encourage any of your international audience to make a submission if they're keen to come to the event as well.
Okay. If they do submit a session, is there a ticket price reduction or free ticket involved for session speakers?
At this stage, we've got a 50% price discount on speakers' tickets.
Okay.
And I'm not going to talk about the possibility of that being reduced further than that. But we are very conscious of anyone that's coming internationally, it being a considerable cost to them to just get here in the first place. Mm-hmm. And we'll be doing whatever we can to make that as easy as possible for people. So I think that the important message is that we definitely want to make sure that speakers are catered for and justly.
Great.
Yep.
What else has been going on? Are there some social events being planned?
Yeah, so I think one of the interesting things that's come out of previous DrupalCons has been a move away from having an official party. And there's been quite a lot of discussion in the community about if someone is paying for a ticket and the funds for the tickets are being received by the Drupal Association. Should that money be spent on beer or should it be spent on servers for Drupal.org? And the decision has been made is that that money is definitely best spent on infrastructure. So in terms of social events, I think the trend at Munich was set in terms of we're just going to be identifying some venues that we can all congregate at. And if some sponsors step up to cover some bar tabs at those types of things, then by all means we'll try and facilitate that as well. I think the important thing to talk about with Coogee is that there's a lot of fantastic venues both on site and literally next door and just down the street from the Crown Plaza. So there'll definitely be some great opportunities for socializing both formally and informally.
Cool. Do you know of any like Drupal shops in the area that are putting on any events? I know that that's kind of happened in the past as well.
Yeah, so we've got a good lineup of sponsors. All of our platinum, gold sponsorships have already sold out, and there's a couple of silver slots left, as well as the bronze openings. And traditionally, there's always been a couple of sponsors step up and run some side events or parties and things like that. So all of that will become clearer closer to the event.
Okay. Yeah, we've still got a few months left, so there's plenty of time for that. And then,
I was just going to say, while we're talking about it, I should encourage people, if you're interested in sponsoring the events, to check out the details on the website as well. It's a fantastic way of getting exposure with the Drupal community.
And what is the website?
It is sydney2013.drupal.org.
Excellent. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and move on to the wrap up before. But before I do, let's just mention once again that if you're listening live and you have any questions about what we've talked about or any comments or you just want to let us know you're listening, you can send a tweet using the hashtag MUP044 and we'll get to some of those questions in just a minute right after we do our wrap up. Okay, so at the end of every show, I like to ask my guests a couple of questions just because it's kind of fun to hear what they say. And the first one is there anything that you're excited about that you're not working on but looks really cool?
So I think with the push towards the Drupal 8 feature freeze, I think that's probably the most exciting thing at the moment. And I think I might have even seen Dries tweet early this morning that he's just committed Vue's into core.
I did,
which
see
is
that, yeah.
An amazing. Well, it's not unexpected, but it's definitely setting the tone in terms of where Drupal 8's heading, and I think how that fits in with DrupalCon Sydney is that it'll be the first DrupalCon that will have happened since feature freeze, and we're really looking forward to having our code sprint at DrupalCon Sydney be working on some of those issues that they're pushing to get into Drupal 8. And I think the other really exciting part about Drupal 8 is all of the new initiatives that are happening around Symfony being integrated, the focus on the content authoring experience, and anything that's really going to push Drupal well up the ladder in terms of being a relevant platform for any large organization to consider using. So
right. And if people want to find out more about you, what you're working on, or if they want to get a hold of you to ask questions about DrupalCon Sydney, where should they go?
So my Drupal company is called Previous Next, and our website is at previousnext.com.au. And the easiest way to get in touch with me is just by email, which is owen@previousnext.com.au, or you can follow us on Twitter. And our Twitter account is just Previous Next.
Excellent. Owen, thanks for coming on and talking to me. It doesn't look like anybody had any questions, so I'll just assume we covered everything thoroughly. But if they do come up, they know how to get a hold of you now. So thanks for coming on and talking to us, and we'll talk to you later.
Great. Thanks for your time, Brian.
Yeah. If you like this episode, check out modulesunraveled.com/podcast to get more information about it. And while you're there, you can listen to other episodes or subscribe to the podcast in iTunes or your favorite podcast software. Also, check out the Drupal videos on the site. There are a number of series available, each teaching various subjects in Drupal 7, like setting up a newsletter, configuring organic groups, or how to make the images on your site responsive to complement your responsive design. Thanks for listening. Feel free to get in touch and keep those suggestions coming about who you want to hear from on the podcast. That's it for this episode of the Modules Unraveled podcast, and I'll talk to you next week.